Well, greetings, everybody. Another Laker hockey show live from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. Nice crowd on hand again tonight. Matt Pocket's here to help engineer us at this end, and Sam Cox is at the station doing that same job. And keep us on the air here tonight. We're going to have a good show, I think. The Lakers are coming off a very good showing up at Michigan Tech. Not what they wanted, and probably deserved a little bit better than to get 3 points out of a possible six. We'll talk about that with Damon Witten here in just a moment. Wanted to open our show tonight with something we don't normally do, and that's the players of the week, because the Lakers got two of the four this week. Ashton Calder, forward of the week from the Lakers, 3 goals and an assist, 4 points against Michigan Tech. He had a shorthanded goal on Friday night. He's had 6 points in his last 3 hockey games, really coming out of where he was struggling for 15 games during the middle part of the season. And Will Rydell, what a weekend he had. He had 3 assists on Friday night and another assist for 4 points on Saturday. I thought he was really good, probably his best game of the season, and he was named Defenseman of the Week for that performance. The goaltender of the week was Dryden McKay for the 6th time this season, the sophomore from Minnesota State. He stopped 43 of 46 shots on goal and beat a good Northern Michigan team twice in Mankato on the weekend. And the rookie of the week was Marcus Komels, the young man from Latvia who plays defense at Alaska. He had a goal and an assist, 2 points in the 2 wins against Alabama Huntsville this past weekend. And we're going to switch the gears over now, get the coach involved for a moment, but that's pretty nice. We get 2 out of the 4 honors, and that's always good, Damon. I mean, you don't want things going to guys' heads necessarily, but I don't think it will, and it's nice to get those honors.
Yeah, and certainly well-deserved recognition for those two individuals. We've talked a lot about Ashton the last probably 2 months almost, and I think the way his season's gone, he came off that great freshman year and an all-freshman team member, and then had a really good start to the season. And I think, for a lot of kids, especially sophomores, younger kids, when it comes easy sometimes early on, you get away from what made you successful. And I think that's a little piece of what happened there through a little bit of a stretch. He never played poorly. He just wasn't quite as dominant as he was early on. And now he's back to that level. If you haven't seen his 5-on-5 goal, it's one of the prettiest goals I've seen in 20 years of college hockey. Just, was an absolute man amongst boys on that play and really long stretch of the weekend there, but just blew by the Tech defender, and went down, scored a breakaway goal. It was just a thing of beauty. Shorthanded goal is also a breakaway goal. So 2 really nice goals and those plays and a really strong weekend, in a really strong performance for Ashton, and well needed by our team, much needed by our team, and he played well. And I thought Will Rydell made it look easy. I thought his weekend was effortless in some ways. Will is such a smooth skater and in a polished skater that he doesn't look like he's working sometimes, but he defended extremely well with his skating ability, his strength, and really was noticeable on the offensive end. A lot of activations, very involved offensively, and again, just tremendous speed. He was activating, he was beating Tech defensemen with wide speed, and really made it tough to defend on them. So a lot of good performances by individuals throughout the weekend, but certainly really well deserved accolades for those two guys who were tremendous all weekend long.
Yeah, I thought, you come out, we haven't really gone over the scores yet. 7-3 Friday night, we beat Michigan Tech in their Winter Carnival opener. And it's a 2-game total goals for the right to have your name on their big trophy they have up there, and the Lakers will get that. We don't get the trophy, but we do get our name on it. And a 4-3, a really tough loss, I thought, on Saturday night in overtime. And Alex Smith scores with 29 seconds remaining in that overtime. That stood between us and a point right there. We would have gotten at least 1 point even if we dropped it in the second overtime. And, man, I look back at that game. I thought we played better Saturday night than we did on Friday night. And we get a 4-goal win on Friday night, and we get beat in overtime. But I thought the difference, really, I thought Robbie Bidone was a lot better on Saturday night than either of their goaltenders on Friday. But, man, we had chances. Max Humitz had that game in the hand. When he went in the overtime, he shot it. He got his own rebound and shot it over top of a wide open net. And I thought it was over right there.
Yeah, no question. There's a lot. Friday night, as you said, was a really good game. And performance for our team. I thought even though we had to chase that game early on, they came out and scored early in a blown coverage. I thought defensively, in our D zone, we played well. We didn't have a ton of issues, a ton of chances against in our D zone coverage. but our rush defense, you know, for various reasons was not as good as it needed to be on the weekend. We've hit that pretty heavily in practice already this week, but you know, we need to defend the rush better. I thought Tech did a good job of doing some things on the rush to confuse our defense and you know, make it hard to pick up what they are doing there. But I thought that was a big impact on the weekend and really cost us Saturday night for sure, and more points, like you said, that I thought we needed coming into the weekend. I thought going into it, we had to get 4 to 6 points and, you know, to give ourselves a real good chance and opportunity there to catch Michigan Tech, and got a couple games in hand here, so we still have a window to do that. But that was tough that way. But you know, it was good. It was a good performance there. Brendan McKay, you know, had a huge weekend, and we've talked a lot about him and his line the last few weeks. They've been playing their best hockey of the year. We've talked about not getting secondary scoring, and you see what secondary scoring goes. You know, a tight game otherwise without three goals from guys who have not contributed much offensively this year, and it just blows that game wide open there. So Brendan McKay had a goal early on. We were kind of in the middle of a line change, but he found a really nice soft spot in the Tech D zone coverage. Got a little bit lucky, deflected off a Tech D man, a nice release, didn't handle it, and got it off his stick quickly. But a bit of a weak goal that squeezed through a five hole, but it got us on the sheet. It quieted the crowd down. Was a real big response to their first goal, and I thought from there we started to run there a little bit. You know, Calder got that shorty. Max had another goal on the weekend, which was great to see, and we're up 3-1. You know, really in cruise control out of. I thought, you know, it was a pretty good stretch of game, hockey, and in between periods we talked about, hey, it's important we come out, don't let this crowd get into it. You know, continue to play the way we're playing, and sure enough, I think the opening minute they come down and a bit of a weak goal down the wing that we haven't seen much of that as of late. And all of a sudden it's 3-2 again. And so the crowd's back into it. And, you know, they really had to, you know, push it and play from behind. And we've talked about that early in the year. We were that team. It's hard to play from behind. So they responded and made it 3-2. We come back really quickly, score two more. And so they had to chase it and, you know, get a little bit out of what they'd like to be when they're chasing the lead. So it was good for us to respond, close that out. I think it was Chase Gamlin's goal. It was kind of a coach's dream. We showed the guys Saturday night. But just a great sequence of hockey. You know, Max Humer was late in the line change. Instead of trying to force anything or stay out too long, he puts a puck deep behind the Michigan Tech defenseman D, makes that D go back and pivot and play it. Chase Gamlin's our first forechecker. Chase does a great job going in with good speed. He finishes his hit. It forces a Tech turnover up to Tyler Anderson, and Tyler doesn't handle the puck. We call it a pound. You know, it comes right up. Tech likes to outnumber and swarm, so they kind of vacate net front to try to outnumber you, and Tyler Anderson, instead of grabbing it and dusting it off or taking time with it, he got it right to the net. Chase finishing that hit, able to beat his guy back net front. It's just a little redirect, and you know, any chance they had to kind of make a push was gone at that point. So that was a really good sequence and a really quality win for us. It was nice to have the floodgates open up there a little bit. We haven't seen that, and a real good feeling for our team, and important to get that this time of year and build some confidence there. And you know, then the game flipped a little bit to Saturday night. Now we were chasing it. You know, they scored, we came back, and then they responded right away, and then we came back again. And so it was a little bit of an opposite feel on that night. You know, and we expended a lot of energy chasing and chasing that game. I thought, you know, a great job by our guys to stick with it. Pete Viette gets the game-tying goal with, I think, under a minute to go there, roughly. And like you said, I think we're 29 seconds or something like that away from going into overtime and getting extra points. Kind of thought we were there. I had a lot of our top guys on the ice for an offensive zone face-off, and, you know, they come down 200 feet and score in the rush. And so that rush defense, again, you know, was not good enough. You know, some gapping at times from our defensemen, our tracking habits by a couple of our forwards, a couple of our top guys who have been really good all year long. So, you know, that was a little bit concerning that crept into our game late. So, again, we've been all over our guys to correct that and to make sure we're tracking back 200 feet and getting to our spots and, you know, really defending well. And, you know, that's a costly couple points, you know. And so that was tough. You know, when I watched the game back, I thought it was an awesome weekend of hockey in terms of fans and the pace of the game. You know, Saturday night game, that first period, I thought was just an awesome pace. We were tremendous. I think we outshot them 14-4. And, you know, we weren't quite as desperate around the net. I thought, you know, Bedoin played very well and deserves a lot of credit, but I thought we let him see too many pucks there and made it a little bit easier on him than we wanted to. He hadn't played a game, I think, since November, and you know, our focus was to get there and not let him see pucks, and I don't think we did as good of a job as we have been as of late there, and that had an impact on the game as well. But a good weekend of hockey from a fan perspective, but we fell short, you know, and that's frustrating. I thought both Saturday nights were games that we should have won against Michigan Tech, and for various reasons reasons we came up short, you know, and that's been a little bit of our story this year. You know, we're sitting where we're at because of some failure to execute and you know, have a grasp of what's going on around us at critical times, you know, and now we've really got to chase things. But, you know, but we're playing good hockey. I think we've had, you know, close games and in overtime games and in almost every game the last 6-7. And, you know, I think we're playing our best hockey of the year, which is really important. A couple guys we got to get back on track or going, but to have McKay's line going and scoring is huge. I thought Dustin Manns and his line for most of the weekend was really, really good. Watching shifts with those guys today, their D-zone structure and communication was really strong. They were one of our better line at tracking habits. And, you know, Mira Mukka had another really nice goal. They had to defend for about 20 or 30 seconds and went down in a rush and scored. So we're getting some really key contributions and some guys playing well at the right time of the year.
Yeah, talk a little bit for our fans who are listening in and they hear you talking about tracking with forwards and gap with defensemen. Explain a little bit about what we're talking about right there. A lot of fans don't understand that stuff.
Well, one of the things that you know, we try, and we're a fairly young D-corps, especially with Sockerman out, but you know, when you watch the NHL, there's not much room and space and time on the ice right now. You know, we want to play what we call up in hip pockets. You know, we don't want to let a tech forward or this weekend a Huntsville forward get that puck and have all kinds of space. We want our D surfed up. We want them denying time and space there. And your D can't do that if you don't have good track habits. You're back checking or your back pressure. So if your forwards are late coming back and not tracking back through the middle of the ice, it's hard for your D to stay up and have tight gaps. And so I thought it was a little bit of both. I thought our D made some bad reads at time and got backed off too much. And then at times I thought our forwards were late and lazy maybe on their track habits, which allowed our, which, you know, forced our D to be pushed back a little bit in those situations. So when we're playing really well defensively, you'll see our D up playing tight with great gaps. You'll see our forwards, you know, have really good backside pressure, stripping pucks and allowing our D to stay up. So hopefully that covers a little bit there, Bill, and what we're looking at for out of our guys.
Yeah, I thought, you know, all weekend, and you said it a few moments ago, we're probably playing our best hockey of the season right now. I agree with you. I think a lot of guys, you know, you look at a guy like Yuki Miura, I thought he was really good in both hockey games. He leads our team, and he may lead the WCHA as a forward in blocked shots. He's a pretty fearless when it comes to that sort of thing for a little guy, and I thought he was really good all weekend. He forced a lot of things to happen. He set up a couple of goals and really made some good plays.
He did. He had a good weekend. You know, his role as a penalty killer, I'm not sure coming into the year we thought it would be where it's at. We thought with his speed and quickness, we could find a role for him penalty killing, and he's just blossomed as a killer. Obviously, he does a lot more than just kill for us, but he's been tremendous. So he starts most of our penalty kills. As you mentioned, he's a very intelligent player. He understands shot lanes and how to block shots. Obviously, beyond intelligence, it takes some guts to stand in front of those shots and do that, and he's blocked a lot of them this year, so he's done a really good job. He was instrumental in setting up Mukka's goal there and made a really great play. If everybody remembers, he had a breakaway Friday night. I think it would have made it 6-2 when he made a really nice move on Pietila, hit the post. We actually had one of his line mates kind of watching him and admiring him instead of working away from the puck. And we've talked a lot with our team in the last few months, like you have to work away from the puck. Don't watch your center. Don't watch your D doing something, you know, drive your feet and be an option, make plays for guys around you. And so, you know, one of his line mates, if they would have, you know, couple hard strides, they would have tapped in his rebound. So we beat Pietila. It hit the post, kind of came right back through the crease there. We should have had a guy there to tap that in, and that ends that game earlier on. So, but Yuki's been very good and very consistent for us. And I think that was his 10th assist of the year on the weekend there. And he's probably should have a couple more goals. You know, he's had a couple posts. He's beat some goaltenders, hasn't tucked it in. His play has been very valuable to us. And that line has been really, really good. The chemistry right now between Mukka, Manns and Miura, so somebody can come up with the 3M or whatever it is, but they've been good for us, and they're contributing as well and playing some really good hockey. Dustin Manns had an off night in the faceoff circle on Friday night, which is really rare for him. I think he's around 66% for the season. Yeah. I think it's insane for a freshman how well he's done, and then he bounced back Saturday, was outstanding in the faceoff circle, and that's a big part of it. You know, they start with possession, you know, 60, 70% of the time on their ice, they're winning a faceoff and starting with possession, so that's a big key to that line as well.
Yeah, we won both the face-off battles, both games. We came out ahead of them and outshot them in the second game. We got outshot in the first game, but beat them 7-3. So you know, hockey's strange sometimes like that. But big weekend, you know, Pete Bielette, you talked about him getting that game-tying goal on Saturday night, and he did. He scored with 44 seconds remaining to tie it at 3. He hadn't really had any success points-wise until that one, but he gets that huge goal, and he's got a knack for that.
He has. I mean, you know, we've talked about it. He's a couple of 3-on-3 and, you know, ones that don't count. So he should have a couple more and, you know, that don't show up in the stats. But he's been very clutch for us, you know, and he's one of those guys that's really he's a very intelligent kid. You know, he's, a 4.0 and a psychology major. So he's very book smart. He's very hockey smart, very analytical. Him and Zach Sizek, you know, really see the world the same way and can really connect that way. I'm not maybe smart enough to talk to those guys sometimes. So Zach does a good job relating things to Pete, and Pete's really taken to heart the lessons we've talked about, you know, playing in the dirty area, paying the price to be effective and to score goals. You know, the goals he's scoring are coming right around the paint, and that's the 6-on-5 extra attacker goal was one of those situations. You know, we won the draw, but I think Hampus won it so clean that we weren't able to run our set play, and guys kind of had to ad lib a little bit there, and there was Pete going right where he's supposed to go and found a rebound and tapped it in. You know, I thought at that point, with all the momentum, all the life, that game was for sure ours. But a big goal from Pete Viette, and he's played very well.
Yeah, and then we get into the overtime, and that's where Max, in the first minute of the overtime, he got loose. He got outside the guy on the right side, beat him to the net. And Bedone stopped the first shot, but it came right back to Max. He was kind of off balance, but he backhanded it just over the cross.
Yeah, and even before, late in the third period, he hit a post on the power play. And, you know, if you tell me the game's on the line and, you know, we're going to pick one player with the puck on a stick, we're picking Max Humitz, you know. And I've watched that 8-10 times now, and I can't quite figure out where it went or how it stayed out of the net. But it was a real good first shot, and Bedoin couldn't control the rebound. And Max, couldn't really corral it. He kind of had to go in and slap it backhand, and that was part of that why he couldn't kind of settle it down and bury it. But I'm not sure how it stayed out of a wide-open net, unfortunately it did. And most times that's going in, and, Max has been so clutch for us this year. You know, it was surprising it didn't go in. I think our whole bench was almost over the boards that we thought we had won at that point.
Yeah, I thought it was over from upstairs. He was there with a wide open net. You know, a little bit after that, about 3 minutes into that overtime, he had another chance that he created purely himself with his high IQ as a hockey player. He kind of high-sticked the D-man, but he got away with it, knocked him up in the shoulder and sneaked around him and walked right in. He was wide open.
Yeah, another chance. Again, it's surprising because, you know, he's been so clutch for us, and I'm concerned that, you know, how much pressure he puts on himself to carry this team and what's going on. So I think getting Brendan scoring, getting the man's line contributing, Calder playing the way he's playing, I think Calder with Hampus and Braden, you know, those guys have taken a load off there. So that's good. He's got some help to score there. And, most weekends that's a win with that puck on a stick.
Yeah, Calder was we're going to have him on tonight, by the way. Ashton's going to join us the latter part of the show. We'll talk with the sophomore from Sault Ste. Marie. But, the thing that's really good about what he's doing right now is he gets these chances. He creates them himself. That goal you talked about earlier, he just outskated the D-man. He got outside of him, outworked him, got to the net. But then the key thing is he scored. I mean, you can get to the net. You're going to get stopped. You're going to shoot it wide. I mean,
you got to finish.
He's a right-handed shot, and he didn't have any trouble on either one of those goals.
You got to finish, yeah. Both goals were a similar kind of move,
yeah.
A little fake shot, backhand, came back across. Actually, off a faceoff play later that game Friday, I thought he had the hat trick complete. He made an unbelievable move. Deked a tech defenseman coming out, walked around him, and I think he shot it high, or maybe they got blocked in front of him. But I thought the hat trick was complete there, and we did get him out late a couple of times even with the score big. You know, we were aware on the bench that he had 2 goals, hoping he could get that hat trick. But save it for this weekend. We'll get it done here with Ashton, but playing very well. It'll be good to get him on, obviously, with the game in Sault Ontario. Growing up here in Sault Ste. Marie, you can talk about that as well. But coming off a great weekend, and he's playing the right way, and that's, when things aren't going well, or when you're struggling, or, not finding success, get back to basics. And Ashton's done that with a very powerful game, a very competitive game, and you get rewarded when you play the right way, and he's doing that.
Yeah, he had a tough streak there, 15 games without a point, and he was struggling.
Well, he wasn't playing poorly, but he just wasn't
scoring. He wasn't getting any points.
Yep.
So, now he's kind of breaking out of it. He's He started strong. He's finishing strong. And, you know, he's a sophomore. He's still got time to develop as a player. And I think he did develop himself physically pretty much this past summer, too.
Yeah, even last year, like he had talked with our strength conditioning coach about it, that, you know, he wasn't, you know, much of a gym guy. You know, he didn't enjoy going to the gym, and it wasn't something. And I think that's probably for a lot of our kids here. You know, we're a little bit behind bigger cities in terms of, you know, what our elite hockey players are doing and what they're exposed to because of our size, and then maybe, you know, hockey-specific trainers and things like that. We're getting better, and we have some options now, which is great. But it was a little bit new to him, and I'm not sure why the light bulb went on or how it totally did, but obviously we're seeing the benefits of how important that is, and, you know, his commitment. You know, even with, you know, the strength coach and the facility we have everything there, but you can't make a kid do it. So for Ashton to understand that and, you know, have the maturity to say, this is the next step in my game, you know, he totally changed his body. And, you know, I think it's obviously been good a season for him. I think it's tip of the iceberg. I think he can be scary good for us, not only this next couple of weeks, but moving forward as well. So I think that's a good thing to have.
Yeah, the guy went 15 games without a point, and he's still second on this team in scoring, 9 goals, 11 assists, 20 points, and that puts him in the upper half of the WCHA in scoring. So, you know, he had some points in some of those other games, he'd be leading this team and probably at the top of the league as well. We're going to take a break. We'll be back to the Antlers with more Laker Hockey Show right after this on ESPN 1400. All righty, we are back at the Antlers. Nice little crowd on hand tonight. They always make a lot of noise here. That's because Roy Forrest is out there, and he can make noise with the best of them. But I wanted to pursue a little bit more on this Michigan Tech series before we leave that subject and move on to Alabama Huntsville, this weekend's opponent, and the GFL game on Saturday night, which is a biggie for Laker hockey. There was one point on Saturday night, Damon, and I talked about it on the air, but, you know, you think you see what you see. I still think I think I'm right on this. On their second goal that Hallinan scored, the first of his two that he scored, and he's a heck of a hockey player, that kid, a sophomore for Joe Sean's team. I don't know whether it was him or Bretzman, but somebody broke one of our sticks in half and stole a puck and kept it in at the blue line. We had that puck out. I thought it was Violette who had it and was bringing it out.
Louis.
It was Louis Bidon. Yeah, okay. Louis. Got his stick snapped right in half. And they kept the puck in, and they scored a goal that was a big, big goal in that hockey game. It made it 2-1 at the time. They end up winning in overtime. That should have been a slashing penalty, and I'm not going to knock the referees because I thought they were great. I thought Bobby Lucasen and Brady Johnson just let these two teams play all weekend. They called holding a couple of times, but they did miss some major stuff here and there, and that was one of them, and it cost us a goal.
Yeah, it had a huge impact on the game. You know, it's you know, the guy had a stick over his head, came down over top of Louis and snaps his stick, and 10 seconds later, it's in the back of our net. You know, we were about to rush out an odd man rush the other way. So, yeah. You know, bad missed call, and, you know, they've got to be better than that. It's just, it's an unfortunate break. You know, I am with you. Like, I didn't mind the way the game was called, but when you look at the first period Saturday night, shots are 14-4. Anytime Max Humitz is anywhere near the puck, he's grabbed, he's hooked, and I struggle that we don't protect puck carriers. When you watch the Bean Pot, when you watch other games around, you know, I want to do a better job in our league protecting the puck carriers. You know, you can't go to the hands, you can't hook. Let's protect skill. Let's showcase those type of players there. And I don't think we do a good enough job. And, you know, Greg Shepard, our supervisor, will not be shocked to hear me say that. I think every week when I put a report in, I talk about we don't do a good enough job protecting the puck carriers. And, you know, face-off encroachment and cheating was really bad Friday night. I thought they cleaned that up Saturday. It was a much better job that way. So they did let the players play, but I think sometimes, you know, that has a big impact when there's a team that's carrying play or, you know, is having a stronger night and out shooting a team badly. You know, typically there's some holdings, some interference, some stick work going on, and that frustrates me. I don't like the way I don't think we call it tight enough in that area, and we're guilty as well. We certainly, you know, we know how the refs call it, and we're coaching our guys to do the same thing. So it's, I don't think it's good, you know, a good brand. So hopefully we can clean that up a little bit.
Yeah, that was so obvious, and it you really want to talk about it when it's a goal, when it costs you. I mean, and it costs, you know, it's a one goal game. That was a huge goal. Yeah. So. And it shouldn't have been a goal. It should have been a penalty against Michigan Tech. But we'll let that one go now and move on to Alabama Huntsville. What do we know about the Chargers? They've won two games this season in the league. They're down in the cellar. Not a whole heck of a lot to play for. I don't think they can catch anything. Maybe they can if they won every game they've got the rest of the way, but that's probably not going to happen. They come into this one as the cellar dwellers, but they're a team that plays hard. Mike Corbett's a good coach. They're going to be tough because they've been tough against everybody. Alaska had to go to that second overtime to get an extra point out of them on Friday night, and then they shut them out on Saturday night. But they're a team that's been tough all. They're kind of like Anchorage. They're just going to be feisty and give you a hard time.
Well, they just beat Tech, I think, 2-3 weeks ago. So one of their couple of wins. They're definitely playing their best hockey with that tie against Fairbanks, that win against Tech, both coming in the last couple of weeks. They've got some youth to their team, so they're figuring it out a little bit there. And playing better hockey. I think the thing that stands out is the competitive nature of this team. They're not going to back down. They've got some nastiness to them. They're going to use a little bit of stick work. They're going to jaw a little bit. So they play with a real chip on their shoulder, a real tenacity to their game, and very good on the forecheck. They're going to be very, very aggressive on their forecheck, and that's a big key, is handling that and the way they're D pinch off their forecheck. But a tenacious group of players. They get really good goaltending. When you look at the numbers, you're not going to be blown away with the numbers, but he faces a lot and has to make some really good saves, but he can steal games. He's done it this year. He's done it in past years. And so that's dangerous. A team that's going to, nothing to lose, chip on their shoulder, and they're just going to come at you, and they're going to run you. They're going to stick you. They're going to chirp after. And, that's a little bit their brand. And we've seen that from a couple different teams. So a very competitive nature to this team and, some good players. They've mixed in a little bit more size with some young guys. So they're a little bit bigger than they have been in the past. And they also roll, I think, three freshman defensemen on the right side. So, we've got some matchups we'd like to try to exploit with our experience up front and some of their youth on the back end.
Yeah, we've been talking all season with Laker hockey because of the start we got this season, some of the tough teams we had to play against, that gauntlet, as you called it at the time. And so we've been down statistically, 48th in this, 50th in that, and 41st in that. But this team from Alabama Huntsville, they're the second worst team in the league in goals against right now. They're allowing 4.11 a game, and their goal production is 56th among the 60 teams at D1. They're scoring 1.86 a game. So as tough as things have been for the Lakers, their power play is behind us too. They're at 7.5%. So special teams play could be important this weekend. I think we're playing a lot better with our special teams, even though our stats don't bear that out. And maybe we can exploit them there too.
Excuse me. And we didn't get to see that this weekend. I think we had one power play on Friday, right? And
that's
then
it.
Statistically, it shows we went 0 for 2 on Saturday, but one of those was 10 seconds long, I think. So really one power play each night, and Max hit the post on the one late Saturday there. So, yeah, I agree. I think our power play has been better. We certainly have one unit that's really been clicking there. And that's that the Calder Nordquist unit there with Max Humitz as well. Again, we had to juggle some parts. We lost Gelsinger for a little bit. We lost Mitch Oliver for a bit. So we've been juggling some pieces on the other unit, trying to find some consistency there. And Huntsville plays a style that I think matches up well for the Kybel unit, and I think we can look to get that unit going here this weekend as well. And we'll need that, but it'll be interesting. If the refs are kind of putting the whistles away a little bit this time of year as the playoff push comes on. We'll see. I think that could, play against our favor if that's the case this weekend. I'd like them to call the plays that are there and not, start putting them away for playoff hockey. It'll be good. It's always exciting. And obviously, we've talked to our players about this weekend and the Saturday event. For us, everything's the exact same until Saturday afternoon. Our week's normal here. Our Friday's normal. Our Saturday morning is normal. The only difference is going to be, around 4:15, they're going to show up and they're going to drive 3 miles to a different rink and have to cross an international border there. But everything else, we've got to focus and be worried about Friday night. We're trying to minimize any distractions with the game Saturday in terms of our team. Our staff and our off-ice staff led by Wes DeYoung will do a tremendous job. It's going to be a long, tough weekend for those guys to get prepped and have our guys ready to go. But again, we want our focus on Friday night. And as much as we're looking forward to getting over to GFL Memorial Garden in Sioux, Canada for this event, again, our guys have to have a singular focus of Friday night. We'll try to promote and prep and do everything we can behind the scenes, but our players have to remain focused on Friday night.
Yeah, and that brings us to the questions from our fans who are here tonight. One of them fits right in here right now, so I'll ask it. The fan says, this could be a trap weekend for the Lakers. How do you keep the boys motivated when you're going to play a team, Alabama Huntsville, behind you in the standings, probably going not to the playoffs?
Well, hopefully you ask Brendan. He just walked in here. And when Brendan gets on, it'd be a great question to ask him, you know, and that'll be a big part of it. You know, our seniors will have to do a good job. You know, they've played this team. They know the style and the tenacity that they play with. And so anybody that thinks it's going to be an easy weekend or anything like that, you know, we're going to get it handed to us. So we have to be ready to play. We've had a really good approach. You know, we've talked about playoffs for a few weeks here, you know, with where we're at in the standings. Every night, every weekend is a playoff game. So, you know, we're not worried about a letdown or a trap game or anything like that. But it's key that our players, you know, feel the same way. So Brendan and the senior class will have to do a really good job of having our guys ready to play. And again, our approach is not changing really at all from a coaching staff. This is a normal week of prep for us. Saturday is the only difference where we're going to, like I said, drive over across the bridge instead of to Taffy-Abell Arena.
Yeah, it is. You talked about this the last couple of weeks. You've been backing off a little bit with practice situations. I noted today that it was not a real heavy day of practice. I think guys were out there kind of doing their own thing a little bit. But it's that time of year. Everybody's in great physical shape, except for maybe somebody who might have been injured and have a problem there. But this is what you do, and I think all the teams are doing this right now.
Yeah, you know, it was an off day today, so anybody who came up today was, you know, just on their own. Coach Sizek had a goalie session there and keep some goalies in tune there a little bit as well, and obviously some of the non-dressers, you know, they can get a little extra work and stay on top of it there as well. But, you know, maintenance is really important. There's a lot of aches and pains this time of year. We've been fortunate health-wise in terms of any illness. That we've been pretty good over there for the most part that way, but a lot of bumps, a lot of bruises. You know, we had travel issues on the way home, so that 5 o'clock game didn't end up helping with some bus issues, and so unfortunately it was a lot later night than we had planned or accounted for, and so just, you know, trying to get the guys caught up on their sleep and their schooling and things like that, we felt like a day was warranted that way. I think the players echo that. There's certainly some fatigue this time of year, and so, you know, for us, we want to stay fresh and we want to stay healthy that way. I'm going to sidetrack really quick. Like, you know, we got back late Saturday night. And, you know, the plan was, like I said, guys rest a little bit earlier night, but I ended up watching four hockey games. You know, Joey Kane's clash was going on, so I got to watch Joey score a big goal there at Kane's and see a lot of four or six teams of the U8 group all split up, our Sioux teams. They did a great job. I got to run over to Big Bear, watch our Pee Wee AA team win a district championship game, which was awesome. Going in there and seeing them in their gold jerseys that looked like our golds, I thought it looked awesome. And I think all of our travel teams have made it out of districts or going down to state tournament. So, you know, I hope Laker hockey has an impact on our youth kids and that they're, you know, they want to be Ashton Calder and Chase Gamblin and that's, you know, helping draw numbers, helping kids play and be excited that way. And then I capped my night off by buying an AHL day pass. Anthony Nellis got called back up. And so Anthony Nellis and Diego Cuglietta were line mates Sunday afternoon against Grand Rapids. And, you know, got to watch that game. They fell. Grand Rapids kind of rolled them here a little bit late, but I thought both those guys played well. And hopefully Anthony will be back up for a while here. So it was an off day filled of four hockey games. So it's always interesting, but that's how much you love this game and the sport. And I wouldn't change anything. I loved every game I watched. It was fun.
All right, we got the GFL game coming up this Saturday night over in the Canadian Sioux at GFL Gardens. And we are playing at home on Friday night at Abell Arena against Alabama Huntsville. And then next weekend, we've got Northern here for two games at Abell. And it's a Czech/Survive, and we've got a question on that tonight. Are the Czech/Survive jerseys that the Lakers will wear the same as last year, or do you have a new design this year?
Well, they're in hot off the press. That's a good question. They just shipped in today, and they just got in. So had a sneak peek. You know, Denny does a great job helping us out there. So Denny had them in today, and we went and took a peek, and I thought they turned out really nice. I think they look great. You know, with the color and the cancer awareness, it's a blue-based jersey, and, you know, they look good. They look really good. So it's a new jersey this year that they'll be auctioned off after, as is typical, and we're looking forward to unveil them. So Northern Michigan will wear white next weekend, and we'll figure out what we wear Friday night, and then Saturday we'll wear the Czech/Survive jerseys.
All righty, that brings you up to date on that. Now, before you get out of here, I got to have an update on injuries and recruiting, because those are things everybody asks every week.
Injuries were, like I said, bumps and bruises, nothing major. You know, guys, like I said, they're just trying to nurse a few things and get as healthy as you can this time of year. I don't know that we'll have anybody that won't be able to go. We'll have maybe one question mark that I won't, I guess, address majorly here. But for the most part, we're doing pretty good as of, you know, today and this afternoon. But, you know, that can change tomorrow afternoon or even tonight if somebody gets ill. And the recruiting front, really not a whole lot, you know, kind of the major focus is on this playoff push here. We're still working on a couple pieces, and just found out about, you know, an alumni son, you know, getting called up there and getting a tender signed. So we're excited to track some alumni, as we always like to do. And, you know, same thing happened down at the national program game and Joe Lewis, you know, or I'm sorry, Little Caesars Arena, just hearing where guys are playing, where their kids are coming up. So we're keeping an eye on everybody, as always. Really busy time. You know, they're always, I downloaded, I think, 5 or 6 games for the bus right over to Michigan Tech, and you're watching, you know, clips of kids all over the place and, you know, calling advisors and calling kids. So it never changes. You're never done. You know, we talked about the additions through the transfer portal last week, and you know, those guys are continuing to, you know, stay in shape and get moving there. So I think they'll be, you know, they're not freshmen coming in. These guys have played, they're older guys. So I think they will be guys that will have an opportunity to step right in and play and contribute. And that'll help take some of that load off from incoming guys as well.
One other thing before I let you get out of here, we move Brendan in. One thing I noted on Michigan Tech, and I noted it earlier this year too when they were here, they've got that great map of the UP on the one sleeve of their jerseys, and they got a little star where Houghton is. I think Northern should have that, and I think we should have that, with the star being where we are. We have 3 from the UP. We should always play each other. And that looks great on that sleeve. I mean, I think that's a great touch to the Michigan Tech jersey.
Yeah, I agree. I like that. I think I was there when Mel did that. And, you know, we got lakes, the lake on one of ours. And so, you know, maybe it's time to – maybe we keep the lake on the golds and add the UP. I agree. I think it's a, you know, it's such a unique symbol. And obviously college hockey across the UP and hockey, the hockey culture across the UP is so strong and so great. So I like it. I'd be definitely on board for that. And we'll look to see where that makes sense.
All righty. Well, Damon, we're going to let you get out of here. We'll move Brendan in, and thanks for doing this again this week.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Damon Witten will move out, the head coach. We'll be right back with more from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All right, we are back for our final segment tonight of the Laker Hockey Show, and we got a curve thrown at us here by the coach today. He told me Ashton Calder was coming in, but he didn't tell me that he wasn't coming in. Evidently, Ashton told him, I can't do it. I got a class, or I got something else going, or I've got to go somewhere, or whatever. But we've got Brendan McKay with us, and I'll tell you what, that doesn't bother me. I'll just ask you all the questions I was going to ask Ashton Calder, you know, about being a sophomore and working out all summer. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, you had a great weekend, kid. It was great to see you break out. I was really happy for you on Friday night.
You,
I know
you,
it's
you.
Been a struggle for you and probably weighing on you. You know, here you are, a senior, no goals all season, playing all the time, doing a great job defensively, winning a lot of draws, but then you get a big goal to tie that game on Friday night and come right back with a game-tying goal for the second goal on Saturday night. 2 goals in 2 games.
Yeah, it is a thank you. Yeah, it's a bit of a weird sport that way. You know, I felt I was snake bit for so long, and you're right, it does weigh on you, and you want to do everything you can to contribute offensively as well as defensively, but it's funny how it goes in. I wouldn't say the first one on Friday is going to be on the Sports Center top 10 there, but when you work as hard as I think I've been working to get a bounce, you don't complain. You just
That's
take
right.
it. And sometime yeah. in this game, it comes in bunches. So I was happy to help on Saturday as well.
Yeah, you've had better chances this season and got stopped or shot it wide or something.
Yeah.
But that one there, it hit a leg and then it went right between Jerusik's legs, right in the 5 hole. But it doesn't matter. It's a goal and it was a good goal. And I don't know if that was the one they questioned for being offside, but it was a good goal, and Jerusik was upset about it, but hey.
Yeah, so they were checking for goaltender interference on the stick, I think, but it was their defenseman's skate who kind of hit his stick.
Oh, okay.
So that's why how the five hole opened up for me there.
Well, it was a great weekend for you, and it was not only you, but that whole line. I mean, your line played really well. Chase got a goal and an assist as well, and Brian chipped in with an assist on Saturday night, and I thought he played really well. He just, you talk about a snake bit guy. He's had chances. He's hit crossbars, goal posts, shot up wide from point blank range, and just been a tough year for all three of you, but you know, maybe you'll break out of it now. Maybe that gets it done. You're against a good team, and you know, who knows what'll happen the rest of the way.
Yeah, it's kind of like I try to make the analogy to basketball. You know, sometimes you just need like a free throw to see the ball go in the net. And for us, it was just we've created all these chances all year, and it just hasn't been going in. So it was nice to, you know, not the prettiest one, but to see one going in the net, and then all of a sudden we got three goals to the line there. And you know, I'm very confident that Brian will be next in getting the goal there.
Yeah, and you guys work hard, work together. You're kind of a unit. You played together as a unit last year. You haven't played together all this season, but you're back together now, and I think you kind of know what each other can do. You know the strengths and the weaknesses, and I think the defensive game, the hitting game, the physical game is big for your line.
For sure. I think we like to call ourselves the momentum line. You know, we like to create a lot of energy, create a lot of chances. You know, if there's a little bit of a lull with the boys, we like to, you know, get a spark going whichever way we can, whether that's physically on the forecheck, you know, big back check hit, whatever we need to do to, you know, contribute to the team.
Yeah, and you've, you know, we've talked about this before. We've had you on this show, and you and I have discussed it a few times away from this show, but you came in after your brother was a senior when you came in here. You didn't get to play very much. You came out of the Saskatchewan League, and it took you a while to get into the lineup. In fact, that first season, you hardly played if you did play at all. But since you've gotten in there, whether it was sophomore or even the start of the junior year, you've been a fixture and you've done a really good job of being a great team guy and a good leadership person, which is why there's an A on your jersey this year.
Yeah, for sure. It was a great honor for me to, you know, wear a letter, and Austin was, you know, lucky enough to do that as well. And it's just, you got to control what you can control sometimes. And I just tried to compete as much as I could and always be, you know, a positive teammate in the locker room and do what I need to do to get in the lineup. And once I'm there, you know, there's so many different roles that are required for a successful team. And I think I was able to find one that I could excel at. And once I did that, I've tried to my best to expand on it as much as I could.
Yeah, and you do a good job of all that stuff. You're out there as a penalty killer quite a bit. You've become a pretty good face-off man for this team. You know, there are a lot of things that you do very well that aren't necessarily goal-scoring. That's why when you pot two goals this past weekend, it's pretty darn good.
Yeah, no, it felt great. So, yeah, there's a lot of things. When you're not scoring, you have to, you know, be useful other ways. And I think that's helped me with the way I tried to get into lineup at the beginning. That's helped me be able to make sure I still contribute when it's not offensively. But I still think that, you know, last year coming in after last year, I really thought I was hoping to be a little different offensively. But as you said, it's never too late to get hot.
Well, and it's never too late to help the team out and all the things that you can do besides score. Those are part of this team. Talk a little bit about this dressing room and how it's different this year perhaps than it was last year. You don't have a Ruggiero in there who's going all the time, can talk up a storm and always has something to say to everybody, and Diego is always digging with him. And it's a different crew this year. You got Max Humitz, Max isn't a big talker, I don't think, and so it kind of throws a little bit onus maybe to you. And who else in there is somebody who can lead the way vociferously?
Well, we just kind of, you know, you don't try too hard at something. So, if, you know, Max, when he talks, you know, you listen for sure. You know, he always says, you know, relevant, smart things. I think the last couple of years, maybe I haven't been like the most notable guy, but I think I've always, you know, spoke up when I've had to. And this year wearing an A, I think I've tried to, you know, speak up more if, you know, the other guys wearing letters aren't as loud as me. But we do have a great mix of a group here. There's so many different nationalities, and that doesn't really, you know, play into a factor in a negative way. It kind of, you know, brings us together more, where there's guys like Lucas from Germany and Mayer from Latvia, where it doesn't matter where he's from, and we're still really good friends and can still like make jokes and laugh. And we're a very, very close team. And I think, you know, the adversity we faced in the first half of the season, sticking together, sticking with it, and coming into after Christmas, I think we've really started to, you know, start to play our best hockey.
Yeah, that's another good question for you at this point, too. Now, you're from Toronto, so you're one of the Canadians on the team. We've got a certain number of Americans on this team, and a lot of international players, and you just kind of talked about that. You got a kid like Yuki Miura who struggles sometimes with language, but he's very much a part of this team, both on the ice and off the ice. The guys love him.
For sure. No, Yuki's actually very funny. You know, you might think his English isn't great, but it's much better than I think people give him credit for. And I like to make a couple little jokes with Yuki that we have going on the ice. Probably won't mention him on the radio and stuff, but he's a very skilled player, works incredibly hard. I've played with him a bunch on the penalty kill, so with that, we've got a bunch of chemistry, and yeah, just a very skilled overall good player.
Well, he's one of the leading players, if not the leader, as a forward in the WCHA in block shots, and you know, that takes a lot of guts to block shots, and he's fearless, that little guy.
For sure he is, and I'm not surprised if he's up there with the block shot stat. He throws his body in front of whatever, any shot with any part of his body, and it's crazy. You don't ever see him stay down after. He blocks a one-timer wherever it is, the foot, ankle, knee, and he gets back up, and he'll get right back in the lane again, so he's a warrior.
Yeah, and he played really well at Michigan Tech. I thought he was very effective. He passed the puck for a couple of huge assists out of the corners. He got in there and stole pucks a few times. And he had a breakaway that we all thought he scored on. He beat the goaltender, and it went off the goalpost in behind Pietola on Friday night. And I think the guys would have exploded on the bench had he scored on that play.
For sure. He's had a couple breakaways, and he's so good at that move. And both times, I think he's hit the post. I think the last one was in the Vermont tournament, and he hit the post again on that. And he made a great, you know, chip and spin behind the net before I got my first one on Friday, and then found me in the high slot. So he made a great play on that, and he's just such an intelligent player, so it's no surprise when he might be undersized, but use his body, still win battles against people who are bigger than him just because he knows how to position himself, and he's obviously very smart, so he finds the open guy.
We've got Alabama Huntsville this weekend. It's an interesting week because we're going to play a game at home at Able Arena on Friday, and then we're going to get on a bus on Saturday afternoon and go over to the GFL Gardens and play, and that's brand new territory for any Laker player. We've never played a game in the Canadian Sioux.
No, it's very cool that we get to go over there. You know, I'm a bit of a hockey nerd, so I'm always on HockeyDB looking where guys have played, and it's truly incredible how many times you look up a guy's stats and the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds pop up. So, you know, the Sault Ste. Marie on both sides of the border have really been a hockey hotbed. It's just people just funnel through there, and it's really a special program they have over there. And I think their head coach John Dean, I think he used to coach me and my brother back in the day,
yeah,
for the North York Rangers in Toronto. So anytime you get to go back home in Canada and play, I think it's exciting for me. And yeah, it should be a fun time.
Hockey is a small world. You know, there are a lot of, you'll mix in and you'll see somebody who you knew or you played with or they coached you or whatever. And that happens an awful lot in this game. And you know, you're right. The Sioux Ontario Greyhounds have had tremendous players over the years, and a lot of guys playing in the NHL right now and coaching in the NHL who played for the Sioux Greyhounds or coached there. So, I mean, Wayne Gretzky was there. They don't come any better than that. So it's a big deal, and it's going to be fun to play there. Then we've got Czech/Survive coming up against Northern Michigan. That'll be a tough test. Northern's playing really well this season. That'll be the Coppell Cup weekend, but it'll also be senior night on the Saturday night, and that's when you and your teammates who are seniors and Tyler Anderson will bid fond farewell to the Laker fans.
Yes, it's 5 years. It's crazy that it's actually come to this point now. It feels like, I don't know, three different lifetimes my time here. There's so many different experiences, roller coaster ride, but, you know, it's been an incredible experience for me playing here and being a part of the Laker family. So it'll be very, very special for me to have my family up and, you know, celebrate, you know, my career here and my time here with my teammates, family, and friends.
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's been any parent in the history of Laker hockey who's been around as long as Barry McKay. I mean, 9 years, about 4 years with Austin, 5 years with you. He's here a lot. I mean, he spends a lot of money and a lot of time and effort to see us play. And he and I become pretty good friends. I like Barry. He's a great guy, and he'll be here this weekend, and he'll certainly be here when we play Northern Michigan.
For sure. Thank goodness he had to travel for business, so he's got a ton of miles where it's an easy flight from Toronto to the Sioux. But he came, you know, when I was a freshman. He came when I wasn't playing. So he supported me whether I'm playing every game or not at all. So he's been huge for me, and one of the main reasons why I actually ended up coming here. So I owe a lot to him, and his support meant everything to me.
Well, he's quite a guy, and I'm sure he was cheering hard. I'm sure he was watching those games for Michigan Tech, and when you got the goal on Friday night and then another one on Saturday, he was probably going nuts in the living room.
I think he probably celebrated harder than me. So, he's a very passionate fan. He wants me to do well and everything, and he cares so much. So, that wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Well, you know, the fans are wondering here, and we talked to Damon about that. How do you make sure that there's no letdown this weekend against Huntsville and that we're really ready to go against Northern Michigan? What do you guys do in the room to make sure that happens?
Well, the older guys, we've played against Alabama a ton. And if you look at the standings, you want to take it lightly. We won't just beat you on the scoreboard. They'll beat you physically. They are very in-your-face hockey. They work so hard. They're very physical. They don't let you get anything easy. And they've been playing, we've talked about it as a team, they've been playing their best hockey just like us since the Christmas break. So I think I heard about they had a good couple battles with North Dakota. And so if we go in here and think for some reason that it's going to be easy, we will have a rude awakening Friday and Saturday. So, and we're in no position, you know, how the season's gone up and down, to take anybody lightly.
You know, we could talk, I'd like to get into it with you about some of the guys on this team, your teammates, what they mean to you, how the freshmen have come along, that sort of thing, but we're out of time here, Brendan, and maybe we can do this again before we get out of here this season. You are a senior, you've been here for 5 years now, and, you know, I appreciate you and what you do for this hockey team. I've been watching every game, and you've improved this year quite a bit, and hey, good luck the rest of the way, and thanks for doing this here tonight.
Thanks, Bill. Really appreciate it.
All righty. Brendan McKay joining us here, and we're flat out of time. We didn't hit all the sponsors like we should tonight. I apologize for that, but we got in a little bit late. So we're going to get out of here right now. Thanks to the fans who are here with us tonight. Thanks to Brendan McKay and Coach Witten, and to Mr. Pocket for engineering here, and Sam Cox back at the station. Bill Crawford, so long till next Tuesday night. Another Laker hockey show from the Antlers on ESPN 1400.